traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Congresswoman Philippe.
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
I do not talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News is not, listen, using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist? Is chanting death to America racist?
I'm talking about your guys' racist.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the show. My name is Wayne Dupree, and it is our Friday, your Thursday, April 11th, 2024, 12:02 p.m. That happened this morning. If many of you are wondering about what's-her-face, that happened this morning on the Hill, I get, you know, because they're back. So we'll talk about it briefly and whatnot. Let me introduce Godfather Conservative Radio, Mr. Hutch Bailey Jr.
Hello, everybody. Our Friday, your Thursday, ready to go.
And we got the Imam of Minnesota, Mr. Jason Robbins.
Folks, happy Thursday. Let's get this wrapped up and get to a weekend, guys.
We are ready. We are so ready for the weekend. For those that watched yesterday, we rolled out a couple of trailers. if you still have Netflix, let me get this out of the way real quick. If you have Netflix and you never thought that something like this could happen, well, they have a social experiment in jail. And they have decided that they're going to try it out. Jay, I think we're supposed to start yesterday, though.
You know, I didn't look to see when it's going to start, but I can't wait to see how this turns out. Yeah. Get the body bags ready.
Jails in America are violent and understaffed, which means inmates are locked down for up to 23 hours a day. That's why this sheriff is willing to risk it all on a new, radical idea. No locks and no officers.
And let y'all be a community. Detainees will have 6 weeks to prove that they can act more like people and not criminals.
It could end helping somebody to be free and stay free.
Man, come on. It's a pod full of felons. We running the pod now.
And we still gotta follow the rules in here.
We gonna get lit in this month.
Dude, we finna make hoots.
We gonna get drunk this year.
We're not finna let nobody mess this up for us.
Oh, you guys are gonna ruin it for all of us.
It's a big opportunity for me that I can reconnect with my kids and be the best father that I can be.
You wanna keep this freedom, just go by the basic rules and you'll be good.
Let's go, people, let's go!
The things they doing here might shut this down.
We need to be prepared if things get out of hand.
They don't take but one person in here to mess all of it up. Y'all in the ride for y'all life now.
Jay said, so how long do you think, what'd you say, are the police going to
show up? Oh, yeah, how soon till the police are in there with batons and...
3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Right.
I mean, because you know what, too? And listen to the guy, and listen to one of the guys, because a lot of people are talking, but they don't want all that, they don't want the guards, they don't want all that stuff. So you have a majority of the people that are going to say, man, don't mess this up for us. This is what we always wanted, blah, blah, blah. But like I said yesterday, there's always one. There's always one in the corner playing with the fire, you know, just lighting things and stuff.
Just remember basic training. That guy, remember that guy? Everybody had to do push-ups because of that one guy.
Because of that one guy, right. Yep.
And he got his ass whooped back in the barracks.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know what? That happened one night. It was one of the squad leaders. And the squad leader just kept sucking up to the military instructor the whole time. And if you ever seen Big Brother, if you ever seen those reality shows, there's a groundswell of just whispers like, we got to take care of this.
And then the socks come out.
Man.
And the bars of soap.
I woke up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I heard, and I really couldn't see anything, but I was in my bunk. So I'm hearing, you know, kind of like that. So I sit up and I see a group banging the crap out of the squad leader that's in the front. And when I sat up, something went by my face. Like I felt the wind, like type thing. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to make sleep. You know, kind of like that, right? Somebody threw one of those military boots. If I had moved a little inch further, it would have hit me right upside the head. And those boots were heavy. So imagine hearing the air. You know how you hear those flies? That boot said, I'm going back to sleep.
Well, you know, all civilizations and societies, you have high-trust societies and low-trust societies. High trust societies is your nice neighborhood. You don't lock your doors. You do that stuff. Low trust societies, you close the gate, you put a deadbolt on it. We're talking prison. I'm thinking that's a fairly low trust society. And I'm thinking that there's people with impulse control. And I'm excited to tune into it and binge it. Because
here's the problem with it. It's not a prison. That's a jail.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, everybody goes there. I don't care if you killed 16 grandmothers or if you stole a pack of gum.
Right.
Everybody goes there until you get classified to where you're supposed to be. Right. So that's probably one of the most dangerous places you could be.
It is. Yeah.
In there. You know, nobody's doing a real long sentence. You know what I mean? Up to 2 years, most places. And then you go to state prison. So
right. The
idea, I'll tell you what I got out of that. Man, we got an ugly underbelly in this country. We just have our jail class of people are some scary folks, man.
I know. And talk about MacGyver TV. Man, they make everything out of the littlest thing.
Right.
They sitting there and they
Pruno.
They make a little paper clip and
Well, you see that bag? He was making wine. You see that bag?
Yeah, I was going to say, you saw the trailer. The guy's making hooch. Like day one, let's make some hooch.
He looked like he had lost half his jaw, too.
He was wiped out.
Yeah.
Meth kills.
Right. Oh, my God, Wayne, and you really unblocked Carl?
Yeah.
Nice. Do we put him on, like, a text number limit, like, because all he's doing is copy pasting articles again. Like,
he's still doing it again. Carl, check this out. I went through Carl, say yes, Because fact checking you is fun, and well, blocking you is even funner. So,
ooh, Carl's committing the $1,000. EagleBrookChurch.com, Carl. Email the receipt to us.
Big hugs, Wing. See, you know, you're trying to hit the heart now. You're trying to hit the heart there, Carl. But you got to be respectful for everybody, my man. So remember that. Okay. Yeah. Peace and love. We did a good. Have you ever seen Reacher?
No, I've heard it's good.
It is good. I mean, and I'm not talking about the one with Tom Cruise. I'm talking about this new guy. Big, gigantic, super duper amped, pumped up.
Amped. Right.
I mean, oh, good Lord. He's come out against Trump. And he said some bad things about Trump. And you know what, too? Here's the thing. Here's where I am. As long as you don't put your hands on people, say whatever you want. I mean, that's your First Amendment. I don't think, as long as we've been doing this, I don't think we are forcing anybody to vote for Donald Trump. We're just telling you the difference about what would happen if he's not president and what happened when he was president for the country. But we're not telling you, we're not forcing anybody to make a decision for Donald. That's on y'all. All we can do is give you the information. That's it.
We point out where we are and where we were, and which one you want to be. You know, I mean, you look
exactly.
The fabric of our society is crumbling in front of our eyes, man. There's racial attacks every day now, and it's not just black and white. It's all over the spectrum. Yep. It's all falling apart, you know. And half of that stuff is engineered. You know, I hate when I get mad because I feel like I'm getting played.
When Joe Biden got in, you remember the racial animosity between blacks and whites turned to Chinese.
Yeah.
Just as soon as he got in, it was.
And now it's Jews.
Chinese are getting beat up. You know, the Chinese are anti-Chinese, anti-Asian, you know. I was like, really? People are going around beating up Asians in this country?
I'll tell you something else I saw last night. I was listening to the shortwave radio, and there's a shortwave broadcast anti-Jew and anti-Israel in English, American. And I'm thinking, oh my God, man, this is not good. The Nazis lost, folks. They lost.
Well, and I mean, think about, like, we opened the show with that Rashida Tlaib clip, and we had talked about the clip. We probably can't play it on some of the platforms. But in Michigan, there was a guy at a big event chanting Death to America.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We can't continue to let people in that hate our country.
We can't.
That doesn't end well. No. And I was talking to a friend of mine because they're opening a new, this huge Somali development up north of the Twin Cities. It's got a mosque and like 400 houses.
Jesus.
And we were comparing that to the Hmong. And the Hmong that were relocated from Vietnam, like those people were thrilled to be in America. They wanted to adapt to our way of life. They wanted to learn about our constitution, learn our language, and become Americans. And now you're second, third, fourth generation. Those folks bleed red, white, and blue as much as anybody. That's what refugees are designed to do. These Somali communities don't want to become part of America. They want to make little Somalia. They want to convert people to Islam. They want
to make big Somalia, actually.
It's
not even Somalia. It's Islam.
Right.
Somalians aren't the only ones that do that. Pakistanis do it all over England.
Right.
They got places where cops can't go.
Right. Well, and that's what's sad is, even if you look at the southern border, these people aren't looking to come to America to be part of the American experiment.
No, they're not. They're not.
And I'll tell you, for the last 30 years, the Department of Education has been training our young people to hate their own country.
Right.
What we have to do, we're at a point of inflection. I've talked about this before with other issues. But Rashida Tlaib, we have to have the fortitude. Somebody's got to stand up and say, Rashida Tlaib is expelled from Congress and she loses her citizenship and she's deported. We can't keep doing this stuff. They're going to kill us. If we allow this to happen, it's right in front of our face. And I think we're the last hope, because behind us, there's people that think it's okay for a boy to be a girl.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I was thinking that when I saw her do what she was doing, and I was like, there has to be somebody that stands up in Congress and says enough is enough. Because actually I said that she should have been censured last week or the week before last. I said that she needed to be censured, but nobody on our side was calling for a censure. So now all of a sudden, you know, she didn't even answer the question. She just said, "I don't talk to Fox News." She didn't want to respond to this. I'm not talking to Fox News.
Our side is going to be the death of us.
Yeah,
our side. Only 19 members of the House voted against giving FISA warrantless searches to citizens of the United States. Only 19. All the rest, 190 some of them, voted so they could do that. That's unconscionable to me. That's a losing party.
And can we just reflect on the Patriot Act being the worst legislation ever? These FISA courts just came out of that. You know what I mean?
Sure. But all these, think of this, all your Republican heroes in the House, and by the way, Congress has a carve out. They can't spy on congressmen.
Yep.
Right.
But that everybody else is on their own. 193 of them. That's a loser,
man. And it's crazy too, because they go three levels on those FISA courts where, like, if they want to search you, then
they end up searching Wayne.
Well, I mean, so let's put this in perspective. The FBI, Carl engages with us on our show. That's step one. Carl's crazy people at his painting shop are step two. Step three is people they know. So some hippie leftist that's never, and now Carl's from Canada, so let's put that, but like three people down, somebody who's never even heard of the Wayne Dupree podcast can be investigated because of the association with us. That's how far reaching this FISA stuff is.
193. That's how compromised that party is.
Yep.
Because I'll bet half of them don't even want to vote for it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I mean,
we need a new party, man. It's ruined.
We need a new Congress.
We lose even if we win with these people.
Yeah.
I think we just need to go to a new state and just like declare independence.
But see, you know what?
I'm gonna go to Guyana.
The solution, my friends, they baked it into the Constitution. There's a way to get rid of this thing. You shut it down and start all over again. That's what we're told. I mean, who is it? Herman Cain, you say it all the time.
The thing is those agencies aren't going peacefully.
Yeah. You know what, Tim? About that, they passed, briefly, Marjorie Taylor Greene, we're talking about that yesterday too. Why don't you run for speaker, Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Because she'll never win.
Yeah, I know, but actually,
there's 193 people against her.
Well, actually, let her win. Let her win, and then let her see what I mean. Because honestly, Mike Johnson was put in a no-win situation when he got it put in there. Seriously, he had a slim majority. Kevin McCarthyites. Those are still in place, including Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I don't know whether she's getting her marching orders from him or not. All I know is that he came out and he was like, she's a patriot. You know, she's doing it, boy. Y'all need to get behind her. Boy. It's like, wait. You know, as I said, I still haven't gotten over the fact that she called MAGA names while she was under McCarthy. I still haven't forgotten that. You know? And it's like, okay, well, MTG, why don't you run? Why don't you run? And then and then if you don't do it, then that one this thing that they what's it called? Where you vote them down, vacate. They'll just vacate you. Cause I tell you this. I was thinking about this last night. If they vacate Johnson right now, and he decides he's gonna go home, that's it. That's it. He could take his ball and go back to his church and be a pastor.
What's the difference?
You know, but, well, he's in there right now.
Well, again, what's the difference?
If he's not in there, the Dems take over.
Well, I think, I mean, we might have to give it a percentage, but I'm 60-70% confident that the Republicans will not have the majority going into the election.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
I mean, it might even be a little higher than that. So we're just killing time at this point. Like, there's no point bitching about what Congress is going to do or isn't going to do. It's just, you know, they aren't going to get anything substantive done. They're going to pass another omnibus bill. I just hope the legislation that comes out doesn't hamstring Trump too much when he wins. Because if you look, so the first piece of legislative work they'll have to do is the debt ceiling drops back into place in January 2025. And this spending path we're on, I mean, we're still spending at Pelosi House Speaker levels, actually higher than that. Right. So how much worse can they get? I mean, and so much of the economic growth that they want to talk about isn't really growth. It's just government spending or government jobs or part-time jobs for illegals. So, I mean, there's going to be like Donald Trump is going to have a lot of work to do. January, February, March. And I mean, you could be looking at, you know, we've been talking about BRICS and the dollar. I mean, there's going to be all sorts of things. He'll have 3-4 wards he's dealing with. I mean, it's going to be
between Kevin McCarthy and Mike Johnson. They have fully funded everything Biden wants to do.
Right.
Everything. We might as well not have a Republican Party. You might as well start over. I wish somebody would get out there and start organizing a new party because I'm tired of this. And what we do on the other end of it is we eat our own. We sit there, we get frustrated, so we start taking out our own people left and right, and now we're worthless.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't know. I have this thing for John. I mean, because I really don't know Johnson that well, but why didn't they remove him during the negotiation? They knew that this was going to happen.
I think a lot of them realize now that it's a lose-lose situation. First of all, if they try to vacate him, the Democrats might save him. You know, I mean, the whole...
Well, they said that they weren't. But, I mean, unless one thing. He had to agree to the...
Ukraine and Israel. Yeah,
exactly. And that's the Republican manifesto right there. Yeah. It's what they've been doing for 50 years. We always compromise and they never do.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll tell AOC, you.
AOC came out with that when she was like, there's no way that I would back Speaker Johnson unless he did one certain thing. But she was like, he ain't going to do it. So, you know, that's, I don't think it was Ukraine. I think it was about the abortion thing, but which is the.
Can I just say this abortion thing is just out of control, and it's that and student loan forgiveness are like the only things that Joe Biden has going for him right now, and so we're gonna hear so much about that for the next like 6-7 months. It's
insane. I was listening to the radio the other morning, and they had a guy come on there and they talked about the millions and billions, 4 million of people that were going to get their stuff.
That's criminal, man. That whole thing is criminal.
It is, because it's like, Well, who's going to pay for it?
Well, let me run this down to you. You're the guy that grew up in the city that was smart, went to public school. Yeah, you got two nickels to rub together. So you decided, you know what? I could go to school, but I can't take that kind of loan. I can't do that. So I'm going to go work as a carpenter, right? Mm-hmm. So now you go work as a carpenter. You've been in business for a while, you know, working for a while. Guess who's going to pay for their student loans? You.
Yeah.
The one that couldn't go to college, you're going to still pay for the student loans.
It's well, criminal. And it's at some point, even normal Democrats are going to have to wake up and find out this is just a ridiculous money laundering operation for colleges and for lenders, because colleges get to charge whatever prices they want. Lenders get to have these unforgivable loans, and Republicans were part of setting that up. And then they milk the kid that went there that didn't learn anything, and then who's probably from an upper crust, you know, upbringing, because that's generally who goes to college. And then you transfer all that debt to the American taxpayer. Meanwhile, the colleges are still sitting on billions. The lenders are still sitting on billions.
And the parasites are voting for Biden.
Right. Yeah, it's insane, but it, Democrats can't say that they're against big business or whatever. Like, you're giving some of the biggest bailouts to these institutions ever.
Yeah, that, I mean, this money for the student loan things. Man, he's doing everything he can to offset the bad poll numbers that he's getting right now. You know,
buying votes.
Oh my God! And you know, so many people are like, well, you know, he's doing the illegal. They're already talking about a pathway for citizenship. Schumer wants to do that real quickly too. You know,
these people, they ought to be in prison. You know, I saw a thing last night. You know, one of the things they did in history class in the United States over the years is indoctrinate kids, including myself, that the founding fathers were all these old guys. You know, this history teacher's talking. She said, if I ask anybody to describe the founding fathers, three words always come up: old white guys. And then she started listing these people. They were in their 20s.
Yep.
One of them was 18. Years old when he signed the documents in Philadelphia.
Wow.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And that's what they think. I mean, they think these are just these old racist guys. And then she talked about the State of the Union address, said it looked like the biggest, most expensive nursing home in the world. And she's right.
A lot of people,
we need that. Term limits, man. These people are too freaking old.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can't believe I'm saying that, but I mean it.
But, And it's like, because I always thought that the states were responsible for the representatives, right? I always thought the states.
We can be if we get together with each other.
Right.
Convention of the states.
But to hear that the federal level is in control of that, I was like, that's not right. No wonder the federal government has so much control over so many things. It has become the beast that you probably have seen in the Bible and whatnot. I mean, it has grown out of control. It is in control in a certain way because it's destroying the lives of everybody that is under it. If you aren't part of the beast, you are being destroyed by it. Okay. And that beast has expanded to the CCP, and it has expanded to the Middle East, Iran, Saudi Arabia, even, you know, so many money has become God in such a way that that people that don't have it are just slaves to the system. You know,
well, we've become the government our founding fathers warned us about.
Yeah.
Like, hey, they told you don't let a government become powerful, 51% majorities, push through whatever they want. Like, they warned us about all this stuff. This isn't new.
Do you know that the first federal prison was only built in the late 1800s? A little over 100 years ago. Because before that, there wasn't enough federal law to have a crap jail.
Right.
That's how big the federal government's gotten. It's a behemoth now.
No, it's and because it is that behemoth, you can't control. I mean, that's you can't control something like
that's why we have a deep state. They know it too. That's the thing.
Exactly.
These people stay in there 30 and 40 years and continually getting higher rank, you know, and we've talked about the CCP buying these people off in all these agencies. We're doomed if we don't fix this.
Yeah. We just need strong people.
Yeah.
Like the whistleblowers at the NFSC to, you know,
get your coffee ready. We got Ava.
Oh yeah. We got Ava joining us. Yes, we did. Hey sis, what's up?
Muted.
Mute.
Oh wait, she's muted.
Oh, am I all right?
There you go.
I unmute myself. Sorry. Hello again, everyone.
Hey.
Glad to be here. Good to see you. Happy face.
So, you know, I'm, you know, we were talking about how things have grown out of control in the way of making regular, hardworking citizens or Americans here in this country, basically made them slaves to the system. Exactly like what the CCP has done to millions and millions of Chinese people. What have you, let us know what is on tap, that is on your plate right now.
Yeah, I was just entering the room, the live streaming room, just maybe 2 or 3 minutes ahead where when you put me on, and I heard someone, I'm not sure who said that, someone said people don't have the money become the slave of the system. Who said that?
Me.
Is that you? Okay. So I actually thinking people who have the money are also part of caught in the system of slavery. This reminds me of something that I learned and requires some reflection. And this is a hard thinking. You wanted to think to yourself a little bit more into this area. You mentioned about founding father. They're young, they're wiser. You know, we're kind of a reminiscent about the old time. You know, when we think about when you're young, you know, the neighbors, the neighborhood, it's a lot more happier. But Miles Gould once told us one thing. He said, you know, when you change your concept, looking at money, it will change you. And when your morality, your virtue does not match the amount of wealth you have, then the wealth become a disaster for you or for others. This applies to anyone, okay? It doesn't matter you have $10 in your bank account, or doesn't matter you have a $10 billion in your bank account. If your morality and virtue does not match the amount of wealth you have, in other words, if you do not respect, okay, how you acquire that wealth and maintaining in a way that showing your morality, it's going to be a disaster for you and people around you. So it's very profound, but this is not the topic I want to talk today. I really want to bring everybody in a briefing on what's happening at the diplomatic arena for America, because we're all cheerleader at the end of the day. We love America. We want America to be a great country. But I think if people ought to pay attention to what's happening in the diplomatic arena. Because like me before, I don't pay attention to all those the leaders of all the nations and the meetings. It's too far away from my life, because all my life is thinking about, I'm going to show up on time. My supervisor not going to scolding me for being late. You know, I have to turn this report on time. So that's all in my mind. But if we wanted to keep the old way of living and bring the best from the past and improve on, you know, embracing the future, we ought to pay attention to what's happening in our country and what's happening to other countries, because we are living in an global ecosystem. Everything is connected. It's up to you to understand the connection and how we maintain and keep peace and love, you know, and project into the entire world. So I want to talk to one particular event that happened recently. a lot of you already know, and you probably talked about in your show, that's Secretary Yellen just visited communist China, and it was a quite long trip. It was like a 6 days, right? So in one of the days, April 8th, she delivered a speech at the press conference in Beijing. I actually had a clip of that short video. If you want to just play for our audience as we continue on this conversation.
Okay. Thank you. Over the past few months, we've hosted several exercises with China, including on how we would coordinate if there were to be a failure of a large bank in either of our countries. I'm pleased that we will hold upcoming exchanges on operational resilience in the financial sector and on financial stability implications from the insurance sector's exposure to climate risks. These are the types of discussions that we have with other major economies. Since we know a financial issue in a foreign country can quickly cascade to ours, and I'm glad we're doing the same with China.
Okay, so she absolutely talked to more topics. This is just one clip of it, and it really sounded alarm for me. She is the Secretary of Treasury. It's, you know, it's right up in her alley, and she needs to focusing on the economic conditions. But as we, in my previous appearance here on your show, we've talked about unrestricted warfare. And one important aspect I wanted to help audience, especially Americans, to understand is the CCP has planted lots of economic bomb, nuclear class economic bomb in your financial system, in your economic system, commerce. And, hearing that Yellen saying that, it's scary because she's talking about, oh, you need to keep me in the loop when your largest bank fails, when your insurance sectors fails. Like, it doesn't give people confidence in terms of the outlook of the economy. But right after, less than 48 hours, when Yellen finished her speech, there's one bombshell news that released from China. You might not know this company. It's called Ping An Group. It is the biggest insurance company in China. And not just insurance, it's actually financial, arms, health. Like, it's a conglomerate it's international conglomerate, let's put that way. Ping An Group is also the largest shareholder of HSBC. Okay, so that's a UK-based bank. Okay, it's a global bank, but Ping An Group is actually shareholders of many, many financial institutions. HSBC is just one people, likely to know. So with less than 48 hours, Ping An Trust Arm, okay, so how much Ping An have in trust? 9 trillion Chinese yuan. So that's more than 1 trillion US dollars in trust. And I can share the absolute intel with you. Miles Guo told us previously, 50% in the trust in Ping An is bad debts. Okay, so you can cut them half off. 20% of that 1.2 trillion US dollars securities trusts are basically commissions. They're embezzlement, they're bribery, gone. So whatever assets you can redeem from whatever that 9 trillion, that's probably less than 2 trillion Chinese yuan, which is less than probably 300 billion, okay, US. So now their trust arm announced in news that they failed to pay a debt, about 100 million. So they have to closing down one of the trust arms, default all the Chinese investors. I'm not sure they're just the Chinese investors or they have actually overseas offshore investors as well. But that's 100 million US dollars. That was just announced right after Secretary Yellen left China. And the reason why this Ping An trust arm announcing this news, I don't know whether it's a slap on the face right at Secretary Yellen, because right after she finished her speech, I don't know whether she was warned about this is coming. I guess not. I guess she was not warned about this news, because this is very similar to what happened to Biden and Xi. Remember, Biden and Xi had a phone call on April 2nd, right? Yeah. They were emphasizing on the stabilities, emphasizing on fentanyl, reducing fentanyls and South China Sea, and no support to Moscow, right? But then what happened is when they were calling, Xi Jinping has sent 30 aircraft and 9 Navy vessels approaching Taiwan in South China Sea, right? 20 of those aircrafts actually intruded the air defense zone of Taiwan. So this is another, you know, slap on the face to what the American trying to achieve, right? And if you wind back the time clock, last year we've seen a lot of diplomatic attempts from the U.S. side to trying to curve down, you know, tone down the escalated tension, right? Remember, you have Blinken visit China. Then you have Yellen, Secretary Yellen. Then you have Raimondo. You have three all those diplomats visit China one after the other. The reason why is American has been trying hard. Okay, this is not say they failed. They tried hard from the diplomatic route to kind of curtail the ambition of Xi, but they failed. The reason why they did so many trips in that year is because I want to bring your attention to an event happened in 2023, March 22nd. I'm not sure whether you have the video ready. That's where Xi Jinping visited Putin. Okay, Xi Jinping, you have it? Okay, so Xi Jinping and Putin, I want you to, it's a very short clip. Let's take a look. There's subtitles.
Как раз сейчас перемены, которые не было в течение 100 лет. Там, где в Минске, двигаем эти перемены. Перекиньте, пожалуйста, дорогой друг.
Weren't they making crepes about that time? Or they were cooking?
Did you pay attention to the subtitle? So Xi Jinping said to Putin, said, we're in a change that haven't seen, we haven't seen it in 100 years.
Yep.
And we are the one that drives the change. Okay. And that's it. I agree. Putin said, I agree. They shook hands and then have a safe trip. Bye-bye. So that is March 22nd, 2023. That's a year after Russia invaded Ukraine.
Right.
Okay. And according to our intel, you have to think they have been together since the day one of that war. Okay. Xi Jinping green lights
the sanctions.
Exactly. Yeah. And Xi Jinping provided everything. Okay. And up to 2023, according to our intel, that March 2023, which is last year, Xi Jinping sent the CCP's PLA rocket force to Russia to help them launch missiles. Okay. So this is how tight and their relationship is. And American, you know, became aware of. So they're saying, okay, we're going to try. You know, we're going to try one last year. We're going to try everything we can, and hopefully we can pull Xi and Putin apart. Okay? But that wasn't successful. Whatever American, whatever your best, your brightest diplomatic ambassadors, whatever, you know, on the stage, off the stage, whatever they tried, it did not work. Why did it not work? Because when Xi and Biden phoned on April 2nd, she slapped Biden's face.
Yep.
When they were talking. And when Yellen visited China, say, oh, we're going to work together. You know, we're going to be resilient. The financial world, blah, 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 blah. Then less than 48 hours, another one slapped in your face. Okay. So American gets a message. I think they ought to know appeasement and kneeling down and everything you tried so far failed. Right. But there's a real consequences for people's life. I want you to hear this video that Miles Guo whistleblowed way back. And telling us this is a ticking time bomb and we don't know how big the problem is. Why Ping An Group's trust arm right now just announced the big fail to pay their debt for $100 million? Because all the insurance money, 60% plus, are invested in the black hole of the real estate development in China. And they are collapsing. Okay, so this is where I want you to hear what Miles Guo warned us many years ago.
Miles Guo was the first person in the world who spoke out about Evergrande's $2 trillion of liabilities 2 years ago and a year ago. Evergrande is involved in 130 banks, 150 financial trusts, and wealth management institutions. What is the concept of its $2 trillion loss? It accounts for 2% of the national GDP of the communist China. Have you ever thought the real estate group, Evergrande, takes 2% of China's GDP? It was a Ponzi scheme where Evergrande Group borrowed money for 20 to 30% profit. A certain friend of the People's Bank of China, who was involved in the Evergrande case, sent me a private message. Miles, you must tell me, we are going to attend this meeting. What is the secret and trick behind Evergrande? I told him where the key focus is. 130 banks and over 150 financial institutions provided false information. Evergrande will not tell you the truth to kill itself. Miles Guo told you that if you expect your money back, you must do the following four things. First, you must think about who evaluated the value of Evergrande's car and Evergrande's mortgage as 400 billion. That is what Evergrande paid someone to evaluate. Evergrande's land is not worth 400 billion at all. The data is fake. Negative 400 billion is more like it. Secondly, Evergrande's price in the stock market can't be used as a reference to the price of its assets because those financial crooks have inflated Evergrande's price. Third, all the financial institutions, trusts, and bank loans, all of them are lying to you. None of the data is true, definitely more than that. Fourth, Evergrande's biggest disaster isn't something you can see. In 2017, I told the truth about Evergrande. He said, Miles, I understand. I, Miles Guo, said it's playing financial bills, and there's no one to tell you the truth, they all want to live.
So this is where Miles Guo in 2021 talking about Evergrande, which is just one out of thousands, tens of thousands real estate development company in China. Okay. And Evergrande is a top 10, one of the top 10, but not the largest one. Okay. Sunac, you know, there's tons of them. I can't think of any, but there's tons of them recently, just in the news, you know, Sunac is one and Evergrande and Greenland, Wanke, there's so many of them. Okay. And they're all dead, but the insurance company supposed to protect it, but they actually have issued so many security financial products. Ping An Group alone, they have 70,000 different securities they sell. Okay, just think about it. All those numbers are inflated. You hear Miles Guo, just one real estate, they have a 2 trillion RMB debt. They're 300 billion US dollars in debt. A lot of the debt are offshore debt. That means Americans or British are the creditor. Okay, when these company fell, of course, you're gonna feel it, okay? And you're gonna feel it hard because these are your hard-earned money, okay? But Miles Guo has whistleblowed in 2017, 2018, telling us this is Ponzi scheme. A lot of companies that at that time, if they heard Miles Guo whistleblowing, they would do their due diligence and they would find something wrong and they would, you know, gradually exit this Ponzi scheme so they'd be able to protect them and their investors. But I'm sure there are a lot of people very smart. They listened. But I'm equally sure there's a lot of people are just let their greed and just let, you know, the greed drive be the autopiloting mode. They didn't. They chose to continue believing the devil, the CCP. So I think they will be hit hard. But this is just a wine real estate. So now Ping An, the biggest insurance company, is crumbling. And just look at, I just sent you a picture of a cement. This company is one of the biggest cement company, okay? And they're public listed in Hong Kong. And guess what? Their stock price evaporated 99% in one day. Now the stock is almost worthless. It's 5 cents, okay? So now the company shrunk by 99%. And this is we're going to see this kind of a graph very soon, like a very frequently, okay? And you're going to think that when real estate, because Miles Guo said the GDP of China, majority, more than a quarter of them, Okay, almost one third of them coming from real estate development. So when this whole piece is collapsing, it will be a tsunami, and it will lit quite a bit ripple effects across the globe. Okay, so we're actually in that kind of era. This is where Miles Guo warned. It's going to come. And I want you to play a video that Miles Guo talk about financial warfare and currency warfare, because a lot of those things are tactics to destroy America. So that's why I want Americans to pay attention. How does a relatively weak power to subjugate a superpower like America, that they try everything? This is like a gangster, you know, unrestricted warfare concept happening at once and breaking American people's spirit. So let's listen to the currency warfare and financial warfare.
CCP's real competition with US, also Russia with US, is truly a competition of systems. They know their financial and social systems can't win, so now they are starting to unite a group of enemies of the US and lure away some of US's allies to join their cause. Their main goal is to take down the US's financial system. They believe that digital currency is the best opportunity to destroy the dollar, to dismantle the dollar system. Because if they can take down US's finance, the US military won't be able to sustain itself. Furthermore, they aim to disrupt the internal political game of the entire United States, its democratic and rule of law systems. So, they want to BGY the US and flood your society with a large amount of fentanyl, causing chaos in your society, weakening and destabilizing the United States from within, and ultimately destroying the US financially. So, everyone needs to pay attention to this digital yuan. Don't underestimate it. I estimate that within half a year to a year, you will see a huge financial war begin. This war is about competing for currency dominance. That's why I'm saying today the CCP will trigger a global currency war, a financial war.
Well, he called that one.
Yeah, he sure did.
In 2022, August 31st. Right. And before I went on, I want to give everyone, just to let everybody know that on this weekend, I'm going to do a special episode on Rumble at the LFA TV regarding this particular topic. I'm going to talk about money laundering, and I'm going to talk about cryptocurrency. And I will let you know what Miles Guo and our intel talk about cryptocurrency and how the CCP plan their trap set in the West. And I think people ought to understand that. If you care about your future, if you care about your freedom, you should pay attention to the crypto, the digital currency warfare. Okay, so this is on the weekend. This is maybe the episode one. It probably takes two to finish everything, but I will start this weekend. So with that as an advertisement. So I want to just commenting on that video. So the timing is very important. Miles Guo mentioned, what is at war? It's a system at war. Okay, it's American constitutional republic, your democracy, your freedom, right? Versus the dictatorship, the tyranny, the communism, okay? The concentration of power. One is the segregation of power. Okay, so these are the two completely two different political and social economic system are at odds. Okay, bogged down at the end. That's what at war. Okay, and then he mentioned, you know, CCP has played a long game. They want to destroy your rule of law. They wanted to destroy your democracy, and they use BGY. And they use hidden deception plan and to basically bring you American down from within. Okay, so that's why a lot of the symptom you observed that the crisis, you know, the infighting, everything like the racial hatred, you know, and all of the things are planned. And not only planned, they executed so well. Okay, so people have to understand what you are fighting right now is a symptom of what's going on, and those, you know, very treacherous communists has been a plot against you, okay, plot against your system. You have to fundamentally see that. But what Miles was saying that he warned, in the half year to a year, you will see something happening. That's the end of the video he mentioned. And think about the time. What? That was 2020, August the 31st. A little bit earlier in that year, I'm not sure whether you guys are in crypto currency.
Used to be, not now.
Okay, yeah. So May, you know what happened, right? May, a Terra USD Luna crushed Okay. So Luna was over 100 and then down to like a less than a dollar. So a lot of people went bankrupt if, you know, if this is all their retirement and savings. So it triggered, you know, that incident. And if people watched on my show, they understand, they can now link together, because two episodes ago, I talk about the $7 trillion heist in stock market, in crypto realm. This Luna crush does not happen haphazardly. And if you look at the same period, Bitcoin lost almost 20 to 30% of value in that May, okay, in May month. So this is not, this is all people doing something to it, causing this, okay? So if you followed my show, you would understand what had happened in that month. But come back, long story short, that triggered a slew of issues. There's a crisis rolling to crypto lenders, right? Celsius, Voyage, they're gradually declaring bankruptcy. And then later on that year, what happened? FTX. Okay, FTX declared they're short, they're in a hole of $8 billion of US dollars defaulting their investors, right? And then what happened? 2022, August Miles said, pay attention to the next half year and year. What happened? Silicon Valley Bank bankrupt. March, right? Because of the November FTX, then causing Silicon Valley, then what? Silvergate, then what? Signature. All of those banks are the middlemen link from the fiat currency to the cryptocurrency. What happened? The CCP withdrew quite a bit of money, okay? So you can link all this together once you have the right information of what's going on. And this is the CCP's plan to not only plunder everyday Americans' wealth, okay, but also to destroy you, the system, okay? So I want people to understand your enemy is the Chinese Communist Party. And I only have a few minutes, but I do wanted to say there is a diplomatic turning point that I saw yesterday. Yesterday, all of you probably heard the news that the Prime Minister of Japan, Kishida, and had a state dinner with Biden, and there's official statements went out, you know, these two countries gonna have, you know, their relationship reached unprecedented heights in terms of the cooperation in military, in maintaining the peace and open Indo-Pacific region, blah, blah. There's quite a bit, you know, there's more than 70 items they're gonna talk about in terms of a collaboration on. I think which is absolutely a great collaboration. It's a right direction. Why American and Japan, who used to fought so hard in World War II? I mean, don't forget Pearl Harbor, right? Almost 3,000 people died. And look at Hiroshima. The atomic bomb took, you know, close to 200,000 Japanese people's lives, right? Why does these two nations who have every reason to hate each other, but now came so strongly together and say, hey, we need to work together because we embracing the same value. Okay, it's all come down to the ideology because we all believe fundamental freedom and liberty as a human. So that's what brought them together. And also on top of it, they have a common interests, which is to make their country and to make their people prosper, right? So that's why they stand together. They put the differences away. So I want Americans to focusing on, pay attention to what happened to other countries, because we are fighting, as I said, the geopolitical arena is changing. I mean, American was once the only superpower, but I think as Xi and Putin mentioning, they are the drivers creating this geopolitical changes that human being have never faced in the last 100 years, and we need to pay attention. So that's why we need to all united, and hopefully we can upgrade not only our system, but us. We need upgrade too. We definitely need upgrade because I think conscious wise, we need to rise up, because if we don't change, the same thing that we're dealing with right now would happen again. So that's it. I think the time is up.
Okay. Ava Chen from the New Federal State of China. If she also has a podcast on Saturday, I think it starts at 12, you said, right? Or two?
Yeah, it's 12 at noon. It's noon every Saturday, noon and noon to two. So it's 2 hours. So it's quite long.
Believe me, the little bit that you just got here today, she expands on it so much more on her Saturday podcast. And I think it should be required viewing for many people that want to know at least or want to expand their knowledge of the intricacies of the CCP, who our Congress helped grow to where it is right now. As I said, our Congress are the best farmers anywhere. They lay seeds in so many countries, bad seeds in so many countries, and that stuff just comes back and grows with weeds and crabgrass. And then the next thing you know, it's choking the life out of everything, you know. So make sure that you check out her podcast on Saturday. If you have any last words, Ava, I know Miles's trial is coming up next month.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think. And I talked to Saturn. Well, kind of talked a little bit with Saturn to make sure that we at least can get some interviews of y'all on the street asking questions and stuff and seeing where everybody's head is at during that week. We might not be able to get inside, but we can at least talk and hear some of the voices outside, especially yours. So,
you know what? I can tell you, April 9th, we had a hearing for Yvette Wang, who is she is basically also one of our fellow fighters, was locked up with Miles Gore. I mean, they're not together, but they all at the MDC. So they had a hearing. So we had about more than 60 fellow fighters came from all different places from United States and Canada. They basically get into the courtroom and witnessed that hearing. And I can tell you the spirits are so high, you know, nothing stoppable. Like we are unstoppable. And we know that the truths are going to prevail at the end. Yeah. We believe the American rule of law. We believe the court. We believe justice is blind. So with enough evidence, I think we will be able to bring the public the truth. And I'm hoping, I know, I'm not sure whether they would allow, because the courtroom is very small, but on April 9th, you know, when they saw there's so many supporters wants to get in, the court staff actually bring extra chairs from other places and trying to accommodate everybody, allow them to actually witnessing on the stand. So I really appreciate, and we are unstoppable, as I said. So yeah
you are you are yeah. That the new federal state of China is, people are going to be talking about the new federal state of China going forward, because I mean, y'all should be in the history books. All right, thank you so much, Ava. We're going to see you over the weekend, and then hopefully next week. But thank you so much for the information.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Great weekend. Bye-bye. Bye.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
Bloody.
Every time I survived the war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you?
You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
You know, blowing up the Jefferson Memorial, that kind of hits home a little bit. I mean, you know.
Right.
But, you know the guy with the red sunglasses?
Yeah.
His wife was a journalist in real life.
Okay.
They're both married. And I was reading some entertainment news yesterday, and she was like, she made a mistake by getting her husband to sign up for this movie.
Well, really?
Yeah, because he plays one of the worst type of racist bigots that you will ever see on the screen. She said she doesn't even think it's even comparable for what has been done in the past that he did on the screen, and she feels bad for him. But yeah, that is Civil War. It's in movie theaters right now. As I said, it's getting really great reviews. Really great reviews.
You know, actually watching that preview again, pay attention to that president. He kind of gives me Gavin Newsom vibes. I mean, because I'm convinced Gavin Newsom's going to be the Democrat nominee. So.
I know you are.
I'm
trying to help you, though. I am. I'm trying to help you.
Oh, it's not going to be Joe Biden. You think it's going to be Kamala.
I do. And guess what? Now they have the... when you're in gym, that's the jumping board, the springboard for with the abortion thing.
With that abortion thing, I wanted to talk about what Ava was saying, but that abortion thing, I keep thinking about that. And I think about how rotten that Arizona GOP is.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if that wasn't a move against us.
That's what I was saying yesterday. I was like, we have some of the worst timing of all time. See, you can't really argue. Most people can't most people aren't arguing. It's because this is the way that many people have been wanting it to be in the first place. Right? But you're doing it right a few months in front of the election.
I mean, it would be nice if we all agreed on it, but we freaking don't.
And you even have Republicans and Democrats on the floor of the Arizona legislature saying we need to change this. Before you but you had the Arizona GOP. No.
Right. No. It's like you guys gotta be kidding me, man.
And it's interesting because I was online this morning. I looked at Joe Biden's Twitter account. 14 of his last 16 tweets were about abortion.
Of course. It's a gold rush. I said that last year.
Right.
This is a freaking loser for us.
Yep.
You know, you gotta prioritize. I know abortion is horrible. It's savage. But what's the most important thing? Is that the most important thing that we're looking at? How about invasion from China or from all the rest of the world?
You know, but like I said, this was probably what, bottom 10?
Yeah.
It's going to jump up at least 7.
It could hurt us.
You know? And oh wait, 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 wait. Let me play this. Cause where's she at? Is that it?
I mean, you've got them lying so bad. That Senator Kelly is out there saying that on day one, Trump's going after contraception next.
Right.
It's like, give me a break, man. I mean, I know these people, these some of these voter blocks are dumb, but give me a break.
Yeah, I think the only thing Republicans have ever gone after for contraceptive is the government shouldn't be stuck paying for it.
And what I say is, you know what? Let's have a meeting and let's refuse to talk about it.
Right.
Let's say, don't even mention it. Point to somebody else. I have no comment. It's a loser. Every time we open our mouths on it, whether we're right or wrong, it doesn't matter. Our society's different.
Right. And there are so many, for that to be a single issue voting stance, there are so many more important things, I hate to say it, going on in the country. I mean, I'm into the financial stuff, and we're spending ourselves into oblivion. The quality of food, the overreach of government, the invaders coming in. You know, abortion's important, but if you're going to be a single issue voter, that shouldn't be the issue, in my opinion.
And, you know, to go back to what Ava was saying, I think she has a little bit too much. She's a little too nice on the diplomatic side. I saw something a little different when I saw Yellen with that. I saw her get summoned. You got to remember, Joe Biden is owned by Chinese money. He's owned. Mm-hmm. Who does Yellen directly report to? Joe Biden. So Janet Yellen is also owned. She got summoned to come over there for the second time in a year. She got summoned. Get your butt here now. And she went over there, and we're going to pay off their debt.
I was going to say, here's what's terrifying. The one hope we had for defeating communist China, or the best hope, was their financial collapse. And they are sitting on a real
estate. Pay for it.
Right. Yeah, they're sitting on a real estate crash bigger than the 2008-10 crash in America. Like, wow. All the numbers. And they've got a little bit of hedge on that because our corporations have invested much money and retirement money in. So we'll have to do something so all that doesn't go up. But now Yellen's saying we didn't only eat our own real estate crash. We're now going to eat China's real estate.
And tell them, Jason, about we talk about Mike Johnson and Congress and $30 trillion in debt. How much of that did we borrow from these people?
Oh, my God. It's like 15-20% is owned. Like, we print a bond, China buys it, and we owe them money. And it's so upside down right now because the interest we're paying like it's on track to be more money than defense this year. Just in interest, and that interest is going to these foreign countries that own our bonds. So if you can imagine, we're giving China and Japan and a bunch of other countries who bought our bonds more money than we're going to spend on military defense this year. It, like, you can't even make it up.
And think of the impeachment inquiries and all the Democrats that are trying to make this happen. You know, when you say your president being owned by a foreign country, an enemy, is a problem, and you've got an entire political party saying, no, it's not.
Right. Well, and their only comeback is Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it's because, like, can't you at least for a second look at this Joe Biden stuff and say he's owned by Ukraine, he's owned by the energy companies, he's owned by communist China. I mean, this ends poorly for us, folks.
We were just talking about the Arizona thing. And Hutchie brought up the Arizona GOP. This is what one of the Democrats down there got in front of the mic and said.
For everybody else, Republicans don't want this. Independents don't want this. Democrats don't want this. We have to look at who our elected leaders are. The time is now. It's done. I've had enough. The people of Arizona have had enough. We are electing pro-choice candidates in November. Watch it happen.
I try to be smart about the takes that I usually do, but when I saw them do this, and there's a woman that got mad at Donald Trump saying that.
Yeah, sure that the governor and everybody else are going to bring it back into reason, and that will be taken care of, I think, very quickly.
What do you think about Florida?
Florida's probably maybe going to change also.
Here's the thing. There was somebody who was like, I'm out, I'm done with Donald Trump for saying that. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's
the best thing he could have said.
Yeah, I mean, and just get on the plane and just leave. Just don't.
We got to get over this. We got to get over it. The only way you're going to change this is by changing the kids. You're not going to change it. The idea is free sex for everybody, man. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's out there in college.
Hutchak absolutely nailed it. That was what I was going to say is when we started with free sex and free love in the 60s, with free sex and free love, you want to do away with consequences. One of those consequences is producing a baby. And we are a generation away from even being able to discuss eliminating abortion. I mean, the best we can hope for with the current culture is 6 to 15 weeks. Like, that's the best we could hope for if we want to take up the issue. But even in states, like, that's where it's going to end up. Mm-hmm. And I think you could say, let's do 6 to 15 weeks and then hope the next generation can convince people the unborn child's really a baby. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Democrats don't think it's a baby.
And we're going to have to, that's right. We're going to have to I hate to use their own words, but we're going to have to reprogram people, man. I mean, you can't survive this way. I mean, it's not life is too cheap when this happens.
Right.
I saw a guy break everything down to abortion. The reason we have problems in our streets is because life is too cheap.
Yep.
That's why kids go murder somebody else, because they don't even think about it. We got to get that fixed, or we're never going to get these cultural issues fixed.
Yeah. See, I think it's a step back. I think it's that whole free sex, free love movement, because as soon as women made it easy for men to have sex with them and they didn't have to work hard and get married and commit, that made men not have to work as hard. And then you've seen this mutual decay of male and female standards at like the free love movement. I mean, think about like our how good of man did you
love, not war,
woman to sleep with you?
I'll tell you what. One of the things that I can't get over is how men, American men, dress like little children.
Right.
I hate that, man. I go out there and I see these oversized shorts and these ridiculous shirts in a restaurant. And a woman is dressed to the nines. You know, it's like during COVID, you had people that let their hair grow all the way out, their face, everything. It ruined people.
Well, you know, we talk about how people used to just to get up and walk down the street to the barbershop or to walk to what people used to dress up, basically. Yeah. They used to wear jackets and
we used to have to dress nice to go to a baseball game.
We used to have to dress nice to get on the plane for a plane ride, you know. And then next thing you start seeing a generation or so later, people getting on there with flip-flops and tank tops. And it's like,
I went to church last Sunday. My daughter got baptized, late baptism.
Congratulations.
And it was, I guess it's a evangelical church or say it's not a church that I was used to. You should have seen the people dressed in there. I was one of the only ones with a collared shirt on. The pastor had freaking jeans on.
Yeah. And that's what Alan West was talking about, where things have gotten more, I wouldn't say worldly, because I mean, you know, there's that old quote. It's not in the Bible, but it's that old quote, come as you are. So, I mean, that has taken over.
But the whole church?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it looked like a methadone clinic.
I mean, some churches today, I won't say it because I don't, you know, but in some churches today, they have removed the pulpit.
This one.
Okay. So they have removed the pulpit and it's almost like a stage.
Dude, there was a drummer on the stage.
Well, I grew up with it. Well, I used to play drums, but you went to a Pentecostal church then.
Okay.
You went to a Pentecostal church.
It was kind of cool. Yeah. The drum set was enclosed in this plastic.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Hunt, I'll have to check out our church. We got a whole rock band that starts.
I
love
that
it.
That was new to me. I mean, we had organs.
Right. but I mean, we get sidetracked on clothes, and I think your physical appearance is important. Kind of like Jordan Peterson talks about making your bed. But I think the bigger issue is men had to demonstrate their worth for a woman to be interested in them. I came from a good family. I've got a good future. I'm going to run a business. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to open doors for you. All those basic things that used to be standard. And if you didn't treat women like that, like they wouldn't give you the time of day. You know,
I don't think it was just women either. I mean, I think that shows like at your workplace and your community. When you dress nicely and dress like a freaking adult, it shows that you have self-discipline.
Right. That's the thing. And when you say we're getting sidetracked by the clothes, there's a respect thing. And then there's a really, I don't care thing type of thing. And again, I grew up in a place where I saw grown women sitting on the front pew with their, and I was a kid. With their dresses halfway up their thigh. And think about that. You're a preacher. You're supposed to be preaching to, and you see what's on the front row all the time. You see it. And when I found out that a lot of these pastors were cheating on their wives.
I was going to say,
I understand
why.
It's
probably assigned seats in that church.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why.
You sit up here.
The mothers were moved to the third or fourth row, and then the new converts and stuff were moved to the front row, you know? But I mean, I understand what you're saying about the clothes, but again, growing up, I've seen such a major change in the church to where I always thought I used to go to church 10 days out of 7. Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, all day Saturday, and then all day Sunday. So that was me. And plus I had to clean on Saturday after all 3 or 4 of the choir rehearsals. And then we had Saturday night church. But on Friday night, when we were driving up to the church, that's when the sun had went down. And 815 Center Street, I never forget it, because the church is on the corner. You're driving up to the church. It's dark outside. But you see the church and the lights are on in the church. Okay. And because the church services used to last a little bit longer on Friday nights, 10:30, 11 o'clock now. Pentecostal churches, Hutch. But people used to come in off the street. They had been in darkness for so long, out there drinking and doing all this stuff. They come in and sit in the back of the church because they're like, I didn't know, and then they come in and some of them would come up to the altar and get prayer. Some of them were demons, but you know they would come in, and that's how I always saw the church. The church is supposed to be the light for people to see whenever they were in trouble, so they can come in and. And then when you come in, you see everything is so different from what you just left. You want to be part of this now instead of that. But in the 80s and 90s, when I was growing up, I start seeing the church accept a lot of what the world was doing. You know, rappers, the clothes start changing. And then you had actors in the pulpit preaching or doing the thing. And then you had these super spiritual groups outside. Well, again, I grew up in a Pentecostal church
outside smoking and drinking. You know, it's like, wait a minute, you ain't supposed to be doing that. You know, if you follow the Bible to the letter of the law, you know. So when I see it now, I'm like, no, the pulpit, it doesn't have a it. Where does it preach?
Mine was just a stage, and they got this big giant video screen up there. They don't even have hymnals anymore.
Exactly.
I never even heard of these songs. You know what I mean?
Oh, they have steppers, man. It's like a freaking talent show before the guy even gets up there to talk. And then when the guy gets up to talk, he doesn't. I mean, how's everybody today?
How you feeling?
I need to go to a better church.
And that's what I was
going to.
You have these churches out here. If you don't like being told that you're doing wrong, you just go find a church that allows you to do the wrong, and then you set up shop there.
I went to the next church up the block because I wanted something different. And it was a Lutheran church. And I was, all right, let me check this out. And I walked around, and in the freaking window, protect trans kids. Nope. That one's off the list. I'll find one, though.
Eaglebrook Church, you can attend online.
I want to go to a church.
Well, I know, but...
It's all about fellowship.
Right.
Friendship in Jesus.
But now think of it. We're only like two generations away. If you were a man that didn't go to church regularly, a woman wouldn't even give you the time of day.
That's true.
Like, I mean, regardless of what you wear, if you didn't go to church, like, the girls would be like, oh, I'm not interested in you. Like as a man, you had to have a certain degree of self-respect and mm-hmm. a certain degree of like, you had to be a better person in order to gain the interest of the fairer sex.
Had to have and a now, car.
What's that?
Had to have a car.
Had to have a car. Had to have a job to have the car. Had to, you know what I mean?
We were told a long time ago, you want to find a good girl, you go to church.
Right?
Either that, or the grocery store.
Yeah. Pay attention to what you're
buying.
Oh,
I'm sorry. They're not banging to you.
I don't know what to get here. Can you help me?
Right.
How do you tell a ripe avocado?
Yeah.
You know? Real quick.
President Trump has already been pushing for these debates, right? I mean, it feels like the ball is now in President Biden's court to make a decision. Chances he takes him on.
Sure. It wouldn't be the first time, right, Marky, with this letter coming out that TV executives and TV networks have an outsized opinion of exactly what their import is in American politics. That said, the question, and I think you frame it correctly, is not one of whether President Trump will debate. He didn't during the primaries. But he wants to during the general election. The onus now or the pressure will come on President Biden for obvious reasons. Just when you watch the two men in the public interactions they have, there's a marked difference in how they come across.
What's the over and under that they're going to have a presidential debate?
Zero chance.
Zero?
I'll give it like 5 or 10%.
If it is zero, it'd be the first time in history that it hasn't really been a debate.
The reason I think it will be is I think if it looks really bad for Biden, if you remember that first debate they had in 2020, Trump didn't do well in that debate. And I think it would be a Hail Mary for the Biden campaign if they want to frame Trump as a crazy person. They would hope
I'd make an exception, too. If it's what I said, 0% if it's Biden. If it's somebody else, I'd have to reevaluate that.
All right. Another week in the books, my friends. Don't forget to check out WayneDupree.com. Also, if you're on social media, wherever you are, follow me, Wayne Dupree Show. We broadcast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So glad to have each and every one of you. We're going to get to some final thoughts with J-Rob and Hutch, and then we're going to roll out of here. God bless.
All right. Hey, folks. Great week of shows. Wayne, Hutch. Fun time as always. Just a couple thoughts. One, a lot of people in the chat talking about they had a hard time with church. Eaglebrook Church. They got a YouTube. They do the stream every Sunday. 9 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock. 1-hour sermon. You'll like it. Check it out. If you think it's terrible, let me know. They got a huge online viewing group. I'm just saying. And in some of them that don't find local churches, they like, they bring a group together at somebody's house and like 10 people watch together. Second thought, April 15th, tax day. You got Zelensky over there saying, I need my money, in his little Russian tracksuit. So make sure you pay your taxes. You don't want to be on that naughty list.
Speaking of Zelensky and Chazavar-Yar, Russians attack head-on, develop two pincer movements to envelop the Ukrainian defenders, and the Nazi Azov battalion, or brigade rather, refuses to enter the city to defend it. The Tripolskaya thermal power plant is the largest in the Kiev region, and it supplied energy to Kiev, Cherkasaka, and Zhytomyr regions. According to Ukrainian officials, it has been completely destroyed. Should have practiced that.
There you go. That was. Oh, hey, by the way, did you guys see Rubio's coming out saying Iran's going to get feisty this weekend?
Actually, that was
because Iran said that.
Yeah. Right. Iran said that last weekend.
Never forget, Marco Rubio is a warmonger. Never forget.
Right?
That. Yeah, the CIA came out there and said they were told that within 48 hours, Iran was going to be doing some stuff. So,
or I somebody guess, will. Somebody will. Yeah, they'll just put an Iranian flag on it.
Right. Bob from the CIA is out there. Hey, guys, how do I put this turban on?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.